WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
It's time for the Rutherford Home Show here on News Radio WGNS with your hosts Dean Higby of South Branch Nursery and Dave Gober with F&B Mortgage. A focus on everything you need to know about your home, from buying to selling to improving your home's value. You'll get the latest on the Rutherford County real estate market, helpful lawn and garden tips, plus much more. Now your hosts of the Rutherford Home Show, Dave Gober and Dean Higby.
All right, thank you for joining us on this Saturday, going into 4th of July week. I guess this is technically a holiday weekend. I heard that mentioned somewhere, so some will celebrate it, I guess, this week, and others will celebrate next weekend as well, and some will celebrate it the whole week.
Yeah. Won't be us. We got to work.
Now, if you got a job, I mean, that's a full-time job. That's hard to do. But, yeah, and you know, I encourage everybody to do a little research and get a few minutes about how we, this country is and what we got to be thankful for, and celebrate the 4th of July with that in mind. Don't lose, kind of like Christmas, don't lose the
reason for the season.
Exactly, exactly.
And study your real history and find out what really went on.
Yeah, and how many people have sacrificed so much to afford us this.
Get a book and don't listen to the media.
Amen.
Yeah, so I think that's why they make you do your taxes at a different time and in this state, you know, so, and collect all the money to build up to fund it all, or try to. If it was our government was like someone trying to buy a house from Dave, they wouldn't qualify, I don't think, with credit rating.
They would not. That's a good analogy.
They spend more than they bring in.
That's good. After all these years, we come up with a good one.
I've always thought that.
It took us a while, but we got there, right?
I just scratched my head how, you know, went to start a business, I couldn't get a loan.
They'd probably go FHA and have to have down payment assistance. Oh, no, wait a minute. They'll just print their own money.
No, they go rural development 100%.
They just print their home money.
They'd have to pay a couple
extra. And I bet you they
points,
wouldn't even pay an interest rate.
Well, just always write an executive order and get rid of it, right?
You can do a bunch of stuff.
Anyway.
When you're the government.
Anyway, so we got Michael Scoggins in the studio with us. He goes around and tells people how much their property's worth. And he's an appraiser.
He just drives around, hey, your house is worth this, your house is worth that.
Yeah, as soon as I get through looking at the house, I automatically know what it's worth.
Yeah.
There's no paperwork. There's no research. There's no 3 or 4 hours in the office afterwards.
When you say that, like, I'll order an appraisal and it'll get accepted on firewall, and then the agent will call and say, has it been accepted? I haven't heard from him. Well, I just ordered it like 2 weeks, you know, like 2 minutes ago or whatever. But some appraisers do their work on the front end and then go to the property. And then some do go out to the property and then do their work and then turn it in. So it just depends.
Well, I used to do my work on the front end. And if I'm older than the house, I still can.
Right.
But the tax records in Tennessee in general are notorious for not being correct. So if you look up all your comps and you got 12 comps and you get out to your house and instead of 1,500 square feet, it's 2,500 because it's had two additions.
Not approved, probably.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's say Bedford County, Cannon County, Coffee County. How long have they even had permitting?
That's what I was going to say. And who is a record of any additions being put on a lot of those houses? They can just, it's like the old days, they just build on if they want to.
Yeah.
Which, you know, some ways I think that's, you're so, right. But
And some people did a good job. And some people didn't.
Depends if Uncle Eddie did the work, right?
Uncle Eddie might have been the one you wanted, and you got Brother John.
Well, my Eddie, I'm got my head's not the good worker. So anyway, you know, when you face something like that, you know, because that's one thing I haven't thought about. I think mostly of new construction and more existing houses. But thinking, like you just said, outside the scope in some areas, I can see...
Well, Dave and I talk about this a lot. I'll look up the tax records when I'm looking at the order and go, built in 1920 on 5 acres on a well.
Yeah, and then marked by the tree 50 feet north of
Then I come down to, how long is it going to take me to do this assignment? How much of a book am I going to have to write to get somebody in Minnesota to understand a 1920s house in Tennessee when, like you say, the major part of the market is new construction?
Not comparable square footage prices.
We have, how much am I going to charge, and how long is it going to take? Well, we want to close Friday. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, and then, you come on a couple times a year, and it's always fun to have you. We talked last time, appraisers, there's a shortage, right? Would you think?
Considering my workload right now and how bad I really want a nap sitting here at noon, yes.
But what all it goes into to become an appraiser, the apprenticeships, and it's just not a overnight process, is it?
Oh, no. And appraising, while the government wants to make it a science, it's an art, especially in Tennessee. Now, there are cities and towns where you've got square mile neighborhoods that every house in it's just alike. And you got 12 sales. It's easy. Go out to a 10-acre tract with a 5,000-square-foot house with swimming pools and guest houses sitting just over the line in Cannon
County.
Horse
barn.
Yeah.
Fencing.
Oh, yeah. And all of this has value, and we've got to figure out how much value, because cost is not value.
Right. Well, I mean, I know that I had a house that was listed as a two-story, and I called you on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it should have been listed as a ranch with a basement.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to order a second appraisal because the underwriter wasn't satisfied, because the first FHA appraiser wasn't really making it make sense, and why, and his comps. And anyway, Mike can elaborate a little bit more on that. And I had to order a second appraisal, and it was done correctly, and we got it right.
Well, basements are always a problem, especially in Murfreesboro, because Murfreesboro doesn't have any hills until you get, 5 to 10 miles out of town? You've got to be in Smyrna and Reedyville before you hit the hills, and it's solid rock underneath us, so you can't build a basement.
You know, I used to live in a house close to the university on corner Vine, and used to be South Tennessee Boulevard, and I think a lot of those houses, they had, I mean, it's dirt basements.
Well, what I would call a cellar.
Right.
It's not a real basement.
And, you know, you'd have the stack unit was down there.
The unit was.
It used to be where they'd keep, like, potatoes and stuff.
And you've got this one window that you can't figure out until you realize it's the coal scuttle where they used to shovel coal down for the furnace.
And there you go. It was built in the late 30s or 40s. And it still had the infrastructure for the coal furnace, which that was a luxury.
Oh, yeah.
That was your energy efficient home back then.
Oh, big time.
And but it was always creepy walking down there, you know, because... You never,
you're expecting Freddie to come around the corner.
So, you know, that house, when they widened Tennessee Boulevard and made it Middle Tennessee Boulevard, when they did that, they took all the houses on that side of the street as eminent domain. And when they tore it down, you know, it just looked, you know, I mean, when you tear a house down, it looks like, wow, that was built on such a small piece of.
Oh, yeah.
The perspective, you know. And then the hole that they used to dig the basement, you know. Pretty neat. But those walls always held in. They weren't anything holding them in. But back to your thing about soils and things, it's hit and miss all around this county. But there are certain areas that...
And every sinkhole in this county drains into the same aquifer.
Yeah, and ends up in the Stones River mostly.
Mostly, but if the aquifer ever fills up, there is one sinkhole out on Kingwood Lane on Highway 96 that when it fills up and overflows, starts pumping 10,000 gallons a minute.
Yeah, and I've noticed a few fields out on what's now Veterans Parkway, and you don't see any really drainage going into it or anything, but every time we had these, it's about like this spring we had all the rains we had this winter. I've got some sinkhole, and that water, it's no longer a sinkhole at that point. It's a
it's a drain.
It's an aquifer, like you said.
It's a drain.
But it holds, and then when that water table finally starts dropping, that's what it drains to.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's, I guess, nature's way of...
Well, you know, God built a pretty good world. We're the ones that screwed it up.
Yeah, if you were to look into, you know, like Cumberland Caverns and things, sometimes you wonder, wasn't there a bar or something at one time, a speakeasy or something that was in a cave or a sinkhole?
There was a bar here that was in a cave.
And didn't, I thought somebody was doing something with that.
VA hospital?
Out towards the VA, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an old speakeasy or something.
I didn't grow up here, so.
I guess they, you know, get their whiskey stills and hang out. And,
yeah, I remember that. We've talked about
that. And they were going to do something with that, it seemed like.
It's out by the VA golf course, I think.
Across the street, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, so, you know, so are you seeing a pretty good surge of rural development sales coming on? And
I'm seeing a surge of sales everywhere that anybody can buy anything with any kind of access to Nashville and Franklin.
Yeah, it's...
Let me ask you this. What do you think about values in the next 3 to 5 years? Are they going to subside or keep rising? Are going to level off?
Well, I'm going to give you a two-part answer because that depends.
Okay.
Are they going to keep moving people in here or is it going to trickle off?
You know,
they'll be keep moving.
If they keep moving in here, values are going to keep rising.
Yeah, I mean, it's
if
just
it plateaus off, they're going to plateau off.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, it's... I know you've seen a lot of it, Dave, because we've got people moving in here where they're coming from, the real estate values are so much higher than they are here. We've got people coming in giving anything for anything just to get a house.
Right. Well, you know, I was talking the other day, you sell your house that's 1,800 square feet in California for $800,000 or $1 million, whatever it's worth. You can come down here and you can buy 4 houses at that price, rent 3 out, quit your job, and pay cash for the one you live in and have cash flow.
Unless you had a mortgage in California.
Right. I'm just saying.
And most.
And most of us now.
And earthquake
but even
insurance.
If you had but that's the thing. You get double and triple the value here. Now, in 2012, that was the prime time to buy, in my opinion, with rates and the low prices. I mean, those condos that are by Siegel Park, by my house, they were going for 115, 118, 120, and now they're going 200s. And that was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I saw one. Let's see, what was it? Since 2016, the property had gone up 40% on one I used on a comparable.
Yeah, and I know an attorney told me that he had bought a house out Barfield Road, kind of close to us, and he lived in it 3 years and made $150,000 on it.
But the one thing you've also got to remember, if you sell your house,
you
got to
buy.
You got to replace your house.
Well, yeah, he moved to Green Hills, I think.
Well,
he moved that money to somewhere else. But
I'll never be able to do it. But Dave has heard me say this before. I want 10 acres on top of a hill in Cannon County with a mile long driveway. That way, any car I don't recognize is target practice.
that's a good security system.
Yeah, as soon as they pass a little sensor, you can just get up on your little crow's nest on top of your house, be able to have your little
your sensor be the dog.
Believe me, those two little Yorkshire terrorists I've got would let you know if a rabbit ran through the yard.
Yeah, I got a good video of my dogs with the deer in the backyard yesterday. So anyway, we're going to take our first break. We're here with Michael Scoggins, Scoggins Appraisals, and we'll be right back here in just a little bit.
Yeah. Nothing compares to the excitement of moving into a brand new home, especially when it's an Old South home. There's no denying it. New homes are better. When it comes to your biggest investment, buy smart and buy new. With an Old South home, you have reassurance that everything in your home is brand new. There's a higher level of satisfaction when you live in an Old South home because buying your Old South home is a celebration. Whether it's your first home, filled with children's laughter, or the home you choose to retire in, your home is where you'll celebrate life. Discover what they mean when they say Old South built it. With everything from maintenance-free townhomes to all-brick homes in every price range and over 20 communities in Middle Tennessee, you'll find one that's right for you. See new, touch new, live new, and know that when you get your keys to an Old South home, it's just the beginning of a relationship. So find your perfect home with Tennessee's number one home builder. Visit OldSouth.com for locations and more information. That's OldSouth.com. Old South built it. Built new, built for you, built for life.
Toots. At Toots, if you got a sweet tooth, Brownie Blast, which is a baked chocolate chip brownie covered with fudge, ice cream, and whipped cream. And our newest dessert is the Monster Brownie Bash, which is a dessert that two or three people can share. It's over 1 foot tall, filled with hot brownies, ice cream, caramel, whipped cream, cherries. You're going to love the Monster Brownie Bash at Toots. This is Wade Hayes of Toots Restaurants. You're going to love it.
Good food and fun.
Hi, I'm Rick Thornton, Senior Vice President and Commercial Lender at First National Bank of Middle Tennessee's Gateway Branch. If you have commercial or business financial needs, let me put my extensive experience and background to work for you and show you why we're the home of premier community banking. First National Bank of Middle Tennessee, 1708 Gateway Boulevard. Online at fmbmt.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're planning to buy a home, choose a professional that will look out for you. Ann Hoken Associates has a proven track record of helping guide clients through the home buying experience. Whether buying your first home, moving up, downsizing, or investing, Ann's team will help you do it right. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke at Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoken Associates.
Hi, welcome back to the Rutherford Home Show. Great selection of music. Rush is one of my all-time favorite bands. Real music, real lyrics, real meaning. Musicians at their best.
Yeah, real players, not a computer.
Right. Geddy Lee.
One of the finest bass players that ever touched an instrument.
Yep, from Canada. Who was the other guy? Neil Peart was the drummer.
Neil Peart.
Peart, and then...
the guitar player, I cannot remember.
I know, it'll come to me in a minute. John something, I think it is. But anyway, I've seen him in concert probably 6-7 times. They were at Murphy Center back in, I think, 94. I touched Geddy Lee's Chuck O'Connor's or whatever, those little Converse. He was wearing those, and I got a guitar pick.
And I saw him in 1978, and Uriah Heep opened for him.
Wow. That's Dean, have you ever seen Rush in concert?
What's that?
Have you ever seen Rush in concert?
I think so. Okay. At Starwood.
Well, you'd know. I've seen him.
I saw him at the Municipal Auditorium in 1978.
Yeah, and I saw him at Starwood a few times. Candlebox opened for him one time. Remember Candlebox?
Yeah, I mean, Starwood had some great...
Well, I've got one for you. What happened to Murphy Center in concerts?
I know.
I saw Boston there. I saw ZZ Top there.
Elvis was there. Styx was there.
The original Charlie Daniels Volunteer Jam was there.
Yeah.
I would work special events when I was going to MTSU, and you'd work security at concert or, you know, ticket rippers. New Kids on the Block. And I'm not a New Kids on the Block fan, but the biggest problem was all these people brought them presents, like stuffed animals and everything. So my job was to take all the I love you arrangements.
I fell in love with Olivia Newton-John.
The bad thing was they just kind of crated it all up, and the guys never even saw it. But,
I fell in love with Olivia Newton-John in the early 70s before you were born.
Yeah, well, I cried on the way home. My dad took me to the concert. It was a great concert at Murphy Center. But I remember camping out for Bryan Adams tickets. Remember how, when you would have to camp for like 2 days, and we would hang out and have a good time and play cards and put our tent right there where you walk up Murphy Center waiting for the box office to open.
So I wonder, why did they stop doing those special events? I wonder if it's
really don't know, but I wish it'd start them back.
Yeah.
Maybe it
wasn't profitable.
I mean, you could do an outdoor concert like they did Pink Floyd at Vanderbilt. We could do a big concert there, you know?
Well, for Pink Floyd, you'd have to have Vanderbilt Stadium.
Right, but you remember the outdoor? I was at that concert. That was a great concert. That was, what, 1992?
Division Bell.
I got bussed in from 100 Oaks, I think. Yeah, it was wild. Some good concerts back in the day. I mean, that was a thing to do. Today, it doesn't seem like many concerts, venues, or...
Oh, there's a lot. It's all in Nashville. They're doing the amphitheater there that everybody complains the music's too loud. But they...
Well, Styx was there. Styx is one of my all-time favorites, too.
They should have left Starwood.
They should have. I tell you what. The more mortgages I do, the closer I get. I'll just let people know that to open it up. We ought to open it up again.
No, thanks.
Really? Ozzy Osbourne was there. Pantera. There's Van Halen, Motley Crue, Poison.
Well, it's a great idea. There is this thing called the hassle factor.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm too old for the hassle.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Bonnaroo Festival and everything. It's not appealing to me to go sit in a hot field. And I mean, some people have really nice accommodations in those RVs and things, but I think the vast majority of people kind of live in filth and...
Well, and
sweat, and, you know, I mean, I'm just saying.
Let's harken back to the original 1967.
And that's what
Woodstock,
they're trying to do.
And that's what they're trying to recreate. And I'm sorry, that was a moment in history that you can't recreate.
Well, didn't that just kind of keep growing and organically, Woodstock? Or was that
I think it was a once in a lifetime. It was a one time deal. They didn't have like multiple Woodstocks, did they?
Well, they had that second one in what, the late 1990s?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it didn't come close to the original because the original created something.
And then they're trying to do it every year, so it's losing its value, the utility factor.
Okay, I've got one for you. Who headlined Bonnaroo this year?
I don't know.
That's my point. Neither do I.
Patrick Phillip over there trying to figure that one out.
Well, he's got three monitors. If he can't figure it out, he's in trouble.
Hey, he's over here looking up the names of all our old bands we just spewed out.
Hey, is my flight on schedule? Huh? Any delays?
All right. Well, so let's get off the music.
The
menu.
Main thing is that appraisers, we're talking about if they're in demand. And the answer to that is yes.
Well, one of the things I started telling you before we got sidetracked, I'm actually training a new appraiser right now. Guess where we had to get him from?
China.
Egypt. Good.
I was joking on the China.
I'm not. Sammy was a CPA and a currency trader in Egypt. He can't do that here. Because of the potential for terrorism and money transfers. So he's becoming an appraiser.
Hold that thought. My friend Mike, we just closed on his house last week. He just texted me and said Eminem was the headliner. So thanks, Mike Ross. Appreciate that.
Eminem.
I would have never thought about it.
Regular or Peanut?
Is that Slim Shady? The real Slim Shady?
I don't know, but it doesn't go along with the hippie thing I was thinking about. Buttery being maybe... Things have changed.
Mom's Spaghetti.
There's some really... The band list that was there, I mean, there's some bands that are... I've never even heard.
An Opportunity Knocks.
You just going to do the whole song now?
Well, I'm just... Yeah. I mean, that's a good song.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm just trying to tune in our listeners to who Eminem is in case they don't know.
I still want to know if he's plain or peanut.
I thought they were chocolates. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about Eminem.
Eminem. I'm the Slim Shady, the real Slim Shady. You not heard of that?
Please stand up.
Right. That's it.
You've is heard that Eminem?
That's Eminem.
So it's actually...
Mom's Spaghetti, my...
Okay, that, they made a movie of...
8 Mile, right?
He came from Detroit. See,
Oh, yeah, the white rapper.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got some...
And then he got real political, I think.
Yeah, and he kind of lost my interest. But anyway, it's all right. We keep it real. So back to the guy from Egypt. How's he doing? Is he learning good?
Oh, Sammy's learning great. Uh-huh. But unless you grow up in some kind of real estate-related industry, appraisals... And what you have to do are so deep that it takes a long time to teach. Because it's not just what is the value of the house. Let's start with how is the title held legally at the courthouse.
Right.
We war constantly. Is it a condo or is it an attached PUD?
And PUD stands for Planned Urban Development.
Planned Unit Development.
Unit Development.
But the thing is, it can look like a condo or an apartment. And it can still own that little bitty piece of ground under it and be a PUD and not a condo.
And what is the technical difference between a condo and a townhome?
None.
Okay.
Except the title.
Except for...
And if you don't know how to read the title and the paperwork that goes along with the title to know what it is, you put it on the wrong form, the government kicks it back to you, you have to do the whole thing again.
So, on a... On a development that has multifamily, say 6-7 units in one building, condos, you know, this a lot of people when we do maintenance and things on those type of places,
mm-hmm.
there's a when they first move in, a lot of them will do yard art and stuff out in their shrubs and landscape, but technically they don't own what's outside of that door.
They own, even if it is an attached PUD. They own the footprint of ground under the building, and if it has a carport, under the carport. They don't own any of the grounds outside.
And it's all how the bylaws and stuff
and
were constructed, covenants and restrictions from the beginning is kind of the law of order that homeowner associations end up managing with a management company, and but they're only as good as the people on the board.
Amen.
And a lot of people don't really want to be on that board for any other reason to have their own agenda. But, you know, it's but that's a dilemma because people want to have, they think they own a house and they want to, and some are tasteful things they put out. But when you go along to do the maintenance and you've got bird feeders and all these little things, you know, it's a nightmare to trim the bushes and,
well, and
make it happy,
the yard maintenance, whether it's a condo or an attached PUD, is basically the same. They hire a company to do the entire maintenance so the owners don't have to fool with it.
And that's what they, that's a, you know, a good portion of homeowner association fees, depending on where you live and the extent of the landscaping for the entrances and things. But they also have to accrue money for escrowing to build up because there's going to, they're required for the roofing.
The roofing,
and
the exterior maintenance
pavement,
of the building,
lots and
the parking lots.
A lot of them have trash dumpsters and things, and those are nightmares. They break a lot, and then everybody just starts setting their stuff.
Well, and you've also got common mailboxes where you've got 100 mailboxes in one little place. That mm-hmm. has to be maintained. And there's costs to maintenance that most people just don't think about because it's not every day.
Another thing, when people buy these type of places or even into a neighborhood that has a homeowners association, it usually warrants to maybe inquire the how good it's doing, the finances of it, because what happens on homeowner associations, well, I used to be a president one, boy, I miss that. But the big part of it is budgeting the money for these things. And if you get it wrong, especially if you have a swimming pool for the common area, a playground, all these things have maintenance, and even tennis court, stuff like that, that has to be resurfaced, things. You have to balance that way, because if you have a shortfall, you have this thing called an assessment. You know, where,
oh, yeah.
And so if you move into a place and you think, oh, everything's hunky-dory, and that HOA was struggling, you're going to have some unforeseen things. So it makes... Not it won't factor into the appraisal, but it factors into your decision of How well is this?
Well, not only managed? That, this one is not from Murfreesboro, thank goodness. So I can tell this story. Bad winter, you have bushes die in front of your house. You go to Lowe's, you get bushes, you come back, you replant. Lowe's. Wait a minute. This is in Franklin. This ain't over here. Guy goes to Lowe's, gets bushes, comes back and replants it, got everything looking great. The Nitpicky Homeowners Association comes along and says, looks pretty good, but those are 1 gallon bushes, and the Homeowners Association requires 3 gallon bushes.
Yeah, and I can see that though.
So you might ought to check into how picky the Homeowners Association is going to be.
Well, actually, the Homeowners Association should be paying for that and hiring that out if it is. But you're talking about a single individual house.
I'm talking about a detached house in a PUD with a homeowners association.
Yeah. And the reason they have those high restrictions is because they're trying to keep the aesthetics of the neighborhood. So
and keep but their values up.
I can get the frustration. We're getting told we need to take a break. We're at the halftime.
No rush.
Halftime version. So
another good one.
You're listening to Rutherford Home Show. We're just water cooler talk today. And
that's it.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is Dean Higby with Quality Land Management, a division of South Branch Nursery that has been serving customers in the Middle Tennessee area since 1992. Quality Land Management is a leading property maintenance, landscape, design, and installation firm. We provide a full menu of residential and commercial application, including general lawn maintenance, tree and shrub trimming, irrigation, fertilizing, and outdoor pest control. Our team of talented designers will consult with you to create a landscape within your budget that will be the envy of your neighborhood. We offer our service at a very competitive price. Our experience is beyond compare. For a free estimate, please contact us at 893-4030 or visit us on the web at qualitylandmanagement.com.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes of Toots Restaurants. Listen, if you're new to Rutherford County, you got to come try Toots. We are the oldest full-service restaurant in the county, and we've been taking care of our customers for many generations. Come and try Toots today. This is Wade Hayes of Toots Restaurants. All of our food Toots is prepared fresh to order.
Good food and fun.
You're going to love it. Come eat with us at Toots Restaurants, Northwest Broad Street, Toots South on Church Street, and on Sam Ridley in Smyrna.
Good food.
This is Josh at South Branch Nursery, a full-service, one-stop garden center open to everyone. We have a combined 10.5 acres with great plant material, mulches, landscape stones, and lawn decor. Here at South Branch Nursery, we specialize in hard-to-find trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, and edibles. Call us at 893-4030 to talk to one of our staff. We also have a full line of bagged and bulk soils, mulches, and rock, and even offer to deliver any of our products. Our friendly, knowledgeable staff is always glad to help you create the lawn and landscape you've always wanted and assist you with your outdoor projects. We're open 7 days a week, and we're always online at southbranchnursery.com. Our landscape department is well-trained in design and installation of landscape, irrigation, and lighting. With 17 years' experience, we also design and install hardscapes like patios, walkways, and aquascapes. And once the work is done, our sister company, Quality Land Management, can help you maintain your landscape, whether it be commercial or residential. This is Josh inviting you to come see our South Church Street location just off I-24 past Indian Hills Golf Course, or give us a call at 893-4030. We also have 2 new locations in Brentwood and Franklin.
Are you planning to buy or sell a home? Put your confidence and trust in the real estate team at Ann Hoken Associates Keller Williams. Ann's passion for putting the client first has placed her among the top 10 real estate agents in Middle Tennessee. Call 397-4024 and ask Ann how to sell faster and buy smarter.
This is Ann with Ann Hogan Associates Keller Williams. Call us today at 397-4024 for a remarkable experience with exceptional results.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Rutherford Home Show. We're here with Michael Scoggins, appraiser here. Been doing appraisals in this county and surrounding counties for how many years now? Too many?
1985. You figure out the math.
That's a long time. What would you say that is? 30?
33,
yeah. It's a long time. I've been in the mortgages for 20, which is unbelievable. My son's 18. We just got back from Mississippi State orientation. He's going to Mississippi State this fall. That's a different market down there. But you know what's cool about that place is that it's in the middle of absolute nowhere, but there is more of your planned unit developments going up or your apartments, or it's like you're redoing that whole town.
And you could not make me appraise in the state of Mississippi. Mississippi is what they call a non-disclosure state. If you don't want the sales price of your house published, they won't even record it at the courthouse.
Wow.
For an appraiser, it is a nightmare. You have to dig up somebody that was on one side or the other of that transaction to tell you what went on, or you can't use the comp.
Wow.
Is that for just people that don't want someone knowing their business? I mean, what's...
I don't know what it's for now, but apparently it was back when they made the law.
I mean, that's the only thing that really makes sense, you know? But
and to a certain extent, I understand that, because there's some things that just ain't nobody else's business.
And does it really matter what somebody paid for a house when you're appraising it? Because you're appraising today's value. Right?
Yeah. If you don't know what the house sold for.
But you're looking for comps that were...
within the last six months and preferably the last 90 days. And that's not too hard in the new construction market in Rutherford County right now. But how many existing houses are even on the market?
So... this is one thing I've always wondered about comps and things. So if you have a neighborhood that's got several years of transactions, you say, you know, have a house that you've done things that, you know, are would make it worth more. All it's all in the eye of the buyer, I guess, seeing the value in it. But tile versus, you know, linoleum hardwoods, things like that, extravagant landscaping, irrigation system, so on and so forth, but you go to price that house and it's higher than anything that's ever been in the neighborhood before, because it's always got to start somewhere, right?
It's always got to start somewhere.
So my question is, how long does it take? Because that first one's going to be probably thrown out, right? If it does, it lists 20% more than the market in the neighborhood, and you that first one's going to overlook. But say then other houses start going along that same line for 2-3 houses, so now you're building a consistent inflation of property values. So how long does that take from the because it does help for your neighbor to sell a house for more than what they're doing if it closes, right?
Oh yes.
I mean, that's what starts the process.
Well, and that's one of the things right there that I have a gripe with the appraisal industry at the government level right now. They want to see what things are listed for in the neighborhood.
Who
cares? It's fiction.
Because nowadays, a list price can go over the list price.
It can go over the list price. It can go under the list price. It can sit there for 2 years and not sell and then go way under the list price. So what really do listings have an effect on the market? The closed data is what has an effect on the market.
Okay, so let's turn that question totally opposite. Say the low end. Mm-hmm. The catfish houses, I'd call them. The bottom feeders. They list their house for below most things. So, you know, do you take a high and a low and say we kick those out? And
pretty much that's the way it's going
to
come.
Or you jump
down
over to another development that's now close and say we'll use these comps over there.
No, well, that could be a problem.
Especially in Middle Tennessee. I'm not going to limit this to Murfreesboro because it's a Middle Tennessee thing. There's never enough data in the specific neighborhood to do an entire appraisal. So you're going to have to jump to the most similar neighborhood like it to even get enough data to finish the appraisal.
What if a neighborhood did have enough data? Is it legal to use all your comps from that one?
Oh, yes, and I'd love it, because then I don't have to drive far.
Right. Because I've seen some appraisals before, you know, commercial appraisals. And it's like, you know, pulling something out of – makes no sense as a
– Yes, but it does to that general appraiser. And while I understand the principles, there's – we're right back to our hassle factor. Commercial appraisals have too much hassle to them. I helped an appraiser buddy of mine here several years ago. He was appraising a car dealership. Where do you have to go to get comps for car dealerships? All over the Southeast.
Yeah, and how often do they sell?
You're right.
But, you know, that's the thing. A lot of businesses that we see, the business itself does not own that real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Walgreens is one of the I forget if it's Walgreens or CVS that they actually like to own the real estate. But most like to do a zero ground lease. I mean, a lot of, like, even restaurants, fast food restaurants, I guess from an accounting standpoint, they can write off all the lease versus pay and property tax and appreciation, things like that. But there's, I don't know if it's McDonald's that, no, or there's a restaurant, I can't think of it, but they believe in owning the building.
McDonald's is one of them. Walgreens is another. And either one will usually give double price if they can get the right corner at the right place.
Yeah, they tend to give way over market farm, like, you know, which that just says something for how much medicine profits Walgreens are made on it, right?
Walgreens just bought out Rite Aid.
Yeah, and they closed every Rite Aid stored within a mile is what I read. So, like on South Church, there was a Rite Aid that
There was a 96.
Texaco there and a Witt's Barbecue behind it years ago, and they bought that corner on Warrior Drive. No telling what that cost to do, and now it's sitting vacant.
But, you know, they said they're going to leave the one up on Memorial, so we'll have one on Northfield, Memorial, and Thompson Lane.
Walgreens or Rite Aid?
Walgreens. You'll have a Walgreens at Thompson Lane where VA is. You'll come up to Sportscom and have a Walgreens because they said they're going to keep turn that one into a Walgreens. And then you're going to go down to Northfield, and that's going to stay Walgreens.
And then you've got one on the corner of Kaysen and 96, and you've got one on the corner of St. Andrews and 99. Walgreens apparently is following the Dollar General model.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's funny you say that. When I was in Mississippi driving back yesterday, that's all I saw. There's nothing in Mississippi, basically, besides Dollar General stores.
But there's a lot. Is there still a lot of mom and pop?
There was just a Dollar General every, like, it was like every 175 miles, I would notice a Dollar General out in the middle of nowhere. Dollar General out in the middle of nowhere. And it had about 10, 15 cars every time I would. So they know what they're doing.
And I would say a Subway. Have you seen Subways?
You know, Subway's not doing that good.
I understand, but they've exceeded McDonald's locations.
But they're setting down 600 to 800 locations this next year.
Well, there's three within a mile of my nursery.
That's crazy.
There's one in Walmart. There's one right beside me. And then there's one up by, the Rite Aid that just shut down.
And there's one at the end of Warrior on 99. And there's one on Highway 96 right in front of Kroger. And there's one in Rockvale before you get to the school.
And that's what I'm saying is, but then a lot of when these stores that do not want to own the real estate, the person that buys them, develops them, they'll do several of those and they'll package them and sell them to like a capitalist company who trades them as what REITs is that, I think.
Yeah, real estate investment trusts.
Yeah, and so then, you know, you buy into that with some, if you choose to, with some of your investment portfolios stuff. But I think they've actually done pretty good as investments in the uptick, but not in the downtick.
Yeah, in the uptick and not in the downtick.
All right, well, we're going to downtick to our last break. And
that's a good segue there, Dane.
So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You listen to the Rutherford Home Show.
All the times have come.
Nothing compares to the excitement of moving into a brand new home, especially when it's an Old South home. There's no denying it. New homes are better. When it comes to your biggest investment, buy smart and buy new. With an Old South home, you have reassurance that everything in your home is brand new. There's a higher level of satisfaction when you live in an Old South home because buying your Old South home is a celebration. Whether it's your first home, filled with children's laughter, or the home you choose to retire in, your home is where you'll celebrate life. Discover what they mean when they say Old South built it. With everything from maintenance-free townhomes to all-brick homes in every price range and over 20 communities in Middle Tennessee, you'll find one that's right for you. See new, touch new, live new, and know that when you get your keys to an Old South home, it's just the beginning of a relationship. So find your perfect home with Tennessee's number one home builder. Visit OldSouth.com for locations and more information. That's OldSouth.com. Old South built it. Built new, built for you, built for life.
Toots.
At Toots Restaurants, we try to support the community every way we can. Whether it's sponsoring MTSU organizations and athletics, to local schools, high schools, as well as hiring local students from the high schools and MTSU. We truly believe in giving back to this community that's been so good to us over all these years. At Toots, we salute you, the community of Rutherford County.
Toots. Good food and fun.
Toots.
Good food and fun.
This is Katie Bennett with First National Bank of Middle Tennessee, where we take great pride in our exceptional history of financial stability and performance since 1874. First National Bank of Middle Tennessee, the way community banking used to be. Let me help you with any of your lending needs at 3427 Memorial Boulevard or online at fnbmt.com. First National Bank of Middle Tennessee, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
If you're planning to buy a home, choose a professional that will look out for you. Ann Hoken Associates has a proven track record of helping guide clients through the home buying experience. Whether buying your first home, moving up, downsizing, or investing, Ann's team will help you do it right. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke at Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoke and Associates.
All right. Philip Patrick spinning the hits of the good oldies. So, what a great day it is. Looked like it was going to rain there for a little bit. And I was actually working, doing some tractor work earlier before coming into the show. And it wasn't just brutal like it has been. Yesterday got pretty hot.
Oh, yesterday? Well, it got more humid than it got
Yeah,
hot.
That's it. You know, and, early in the mornings have been really nice in the evenings. But I was actually thinking down at the nursery we had you know, this is a time of year for a retail standpoint that things slow down because people tend to, you know, going on vacations and it's hit the first official day of summer was about a week ago, something like that, which I was thinking, wow, it feels like it's been summer weeks before that day. But all in all, you know, short of a lot of pop-up showers and things, we've had a, it's been a pretty good year. Nothing just... The drought year is one of the hardest years of my professional life,
being in the
plant world and trying to maintain all the yards and stuff that we do. But right now in landscapes, one of the biggest things to look out for if you have evergreens, particularly arborvitae, is bagworms have started their march. And if you don't know what a bagworm is, looks like it almost looks like cocoons. A lot of people think, oh, it's the pine cone of that conifer. It's if you look real close, you'll start seeing brown spots on your arborvitae, and they just look like cones. And there's a worm in there. It looks like an alien.
Oh, I know what bagworms are.
And they can feed fast.
We used to take newspaper and set it on fire and burn the bagworms out of the trees. Now, that was 1960.
Yeah, and I how did that not burn the foliage of... But, you know, I've seen bagworms on Japanese maples.
I've seen bagworms out in the woods on hackberries.
I've seen one on a concrete block. I don't know
what it was thinking, but it was attached to, got a picture of it somewhere. But anyway, bagworms, if you catch them early enough, it's really simple. They're easy to kill with a herbicide, not flames.
Oh, come on. I kind of like the flamethrower.
Yeah, so. But either get a professional company come out and spray them for you. Liquid 7 is something, or any chemical with like a bifenthrin product or something. We have that at our nursery and can tell you how to do that. So just, it's a good time to go out though and evaluate, because there's always lots of different critters and insects and funguses and lots going on in your plant world. And hydrangeas are blooming right now, and that's a really good season. Vitex, chastity, that's a good one. Crepe myrtles, roses. So much to do. So take an inventory of your garden, walk around your yard. It's pretty good to work out there. And these days, it's a good time still to plant, especially container plants. You just put the hose on them when we don't have the rain, and you'll have good luck. So lots of sales going on right now as well. So stop by South Branch Nursery on South Church Street, or we have a location in Nolensville, Brentwood on Burkett Road, and it's worth checking out too. But back before our break, Mike, we were talking about high-low prices and developments and things like that. Now, in the city of Murfreesboro, are you finding that you find comps a lot more accessible than rural areas?
Oh, certainly. In fact,
is the turnover of houses more often in the city than in the rural development?
Oh, usually.
I would say so.
Now, right now, Coffee County is starting to get a little of the spillover from here. Bedford County is starting to get a little of the spillover from here. But it's not, well, I won't say Cannon County hasn't gotten any, but Cannon County hasn't gotten as much. And going in that direction, east and northeast, is where you start running into problems with finding comparables.
Would you say, how, you know, the values in Murfreesboro obviously have increased at a pretty fast rate, mm-hmm. in Nashville, Franklin, all that. What about these areas like?
They're increasing. They're increasing. And part of the problem is you just don't have the inventory out there like you have here. You don't have the builders out there to build. You don't have city sewer anywhere. You have bad soil types that won't perk. So you wind up with larger tracts of land with one house versus the we can cut it up into a subdivision.
Yeah, so, you know, because there are, when I picture going into to Shelbyville, there's some pretty nice little developments there, different. There's like a townhome type development there on the left, it seems like, mm-hmm. that's pretty nice. There's some really nice houses in Shelbyville. There's some really questionable houses.
Oh, they're everywhere.
That's everywhere. But, it's kind of like Nashville right now, all that infill building, those questionable houses are bringing lots of money.
Well, it hasn't hit here yet like it has in Nashville, but let's talk about East Nashville for a minute. Go in and buy one of those old houses, tear the house down, split the lot into three pieces, and build.
They're selling for $400,000 to $600,000.
Yeah, and build three-story townhouses.
$700,000 to $900,000.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, this is a little out of control.
Some of them are going $300 a foot.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have...
But I do a lot of those houses, and I've seen that there's been a slowdown. And, I mean, it's just me watching things. I mean, mm-hmm. before they were, hey, we're closing, and, you know, their builder's scrambling to finish the house. Mm-hmm. Now you can see that the house has been finished, and now they're starting to have to mow the grass, take care of it, and wait on that buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And...
there's a saturation point for every kind of property out there. And the builders generally don't look as hard at the saturation point.
The good ones do.
Well, yeah, the good... Okay, Here's one for you, and I hate to use this example, but I can show you where you can buy the exact same floor plan $100,000 cheaper within 5 miles of each other.
And that being because?
Of the builder.
Gotcha.
Same quality, same floor plan.
What about the neighborhood itself?
Equal.
Entrances and
equal
amenities and everything.
I'm not going
to. Now you don't want to use that in a comp.
I'm not going to get specific because it's local, and I don't want to. I work for all of them. But in Rutherford County, you can drive 5 miles and buy the same house with the same amenities, $100,000 cheaper than the one you just passed.
Well, it's going to go, too, with, I guess, I know 5 miles seems like a short period of way, but it, location.
Both of them you can spit to the interstate from.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about selling my house, but where I'm located.
Did I finally talk you out of that one, Dave?
Yeah.
I mean, you're showing us that video of the deer at your fence and your dog. What's that dog? A Chihuahua?
I got a Chihuahua and a Min Pin and a Dachshund. A Chihuahua is a Chihuahua and a Dachshund, so they call it Chihuahua.
And they all sound like 1950s cars.
Yeah.
That does. My Volkswagen.
Hey, I didn't pick the dogs out. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I got to looking at it, and I got to thinking I'm within 2 miles of 840 interchange, and I can get anywhere fast.
And you decided to do some extras to your house. You did the outdoor space.
I don't need any more house.
Pool and
I got one bird left in the nest, pretty much.
And then you just have to heat, cool, and clean it.
Well, I want a place where they can all come back and stay. You know, where they can come back. Stay, not live. Stay. That's the key word.
There's a big statistic average on how many kids and even parents in one households now.
Well, and honestly, it's just a return to what we saw for thousands of years preceding us.
Everything's a circle.
Yep.
Start out with a big family unit, and it all comes back. Everybody be living.
Well,
with
you start life with a diaper, you end life with a diaper. So there you start.
Well, and how long did families take care of families? No. The parent passed down to the son, who then took care of the parents till they died, who passed it down to his son, who took care of them till they died. I mean,
well, there's some cultures that at a certain age the parents move in with the children, and they have to take care of them.
It'd be scary.
But you know what? That saves money, because nursing homes
put
a lockdown on that savings and all that stuff. And
I mean,
put a lien on your property.
Everything. So if you want to keep the money in the family.
Oh, I'll give you a better one than that now. Even if you pay for the nursing home out of your pocket, when the relative dies, you still have to prove to the state that they didn't use any TIN care before you can settle the estate.
Because they would want to say that there's a capital gain or some money to be...
There's money to be recouped by the state.
Even after you pay Medicare and Social Security your whole life?
No.
I'm just saying.
My little brother and I paid for my mother's care in cash. No state assistance, but you've still got to prove to the state that you paid for it in cash, even though there's no bill due and they can't find where they cut any checks.
Yeah, it's probably very few that are able to do that, and I don't know.
Well, we got less than a minute, so appreciate you being here, Michael.
Hey, glad to. I love you guys.
I appreciate your support of the show.
Glad to get back in a radio station after 35 years.
There you go, and we appreciate it. Again, Dean, I didn't say anything about rates. I got to say something. It wouldn't be the same. Rates are still good. They're still good.
I sold real estate when rates were 21%.
All right.
The rates now are great.
And your 30-year rate is still shorter than the prime rate, which is a short-term rate. So long-term rates are still shorter than short-term rates. Give us a call. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
He's bound to die. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your football.